affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid, Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Yeah. All right, this time it is Wednesday night, right? Any differing opinions? Nah, it's Wednesday. It's our it's prayer meeting night here at Head On. I'm little old Bob Kincaid, and we're gonna have some fun tonight. It's the night before Thanksgiving. You know, we can go off topic. We can go apolitical. We can, you know, lifestyle radio if you want to. We can do, locally, I had to go out and do some last-minute grocery shopping this evening in anticipation of the feast tomorrow. I've got a turkey that's been thawing in the refrigerator for several days now with which you could still drive nails. I don't know what's going to, sucker's going to thaw one way or the other. But always, it's almost like a family tradition that there's a list of stuff we realized that we didn't have right before Thanksgiving Day, so boom, away you go to the grocery store on Thanksgiving Eve. And today was no different. The boy and I went out today, had a fun time, went to the local grocer, found out that they didn't have half of what I needed, and so on across the bridge and over to Kroger we went. And it was fun. But I never go shopping on Thanksgiving Eve without thinking of this family's most famous or infamous shopping trip to the grocery store Thanksgiving Eve. Agnes is beginning to chuckle already. How many years ago was it? The kids were all still pretty little. I'm guessing maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, probably 5 years ago. We had our list together of last-minute things for the Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, I looked at Agnes and said, come on, honey, it'll be fun. Which in this household is the equivalent of the redneck, hey, y'all, watch this. So we went across the bridge and over to Kroger in Oak Hill. And, of course, it was packed with people furiously doing the same thing as I was. If the big grocery chains had any sense at all, they would turn the day before Thanksgiving into a real event with, you know, festive stuff and giveaways and, you know, something just to take a little bit of the edge off. I don't know, spiked eggnog. So we get to Kroger's. And I'm an orderly shopper. I'm, you know, I do exactly as the grocery store intends me to do. I start, they shoot me into produce, down through the produce, down past the meat, up the aisle, back and forth, aisle by aisle by aisle, so as to make sure and not forget anything that's on the list or miss it as we go along or something. You know, get all the dairy at one time so you're not running back and forth like a chicken with your head cut off. We're on about aisle number two when little Kincaids, the littlest Kincaids, the boy and the littlest girl, break free. They're making, you know, they're making their run for it. And the little guy who is all energy and stuff is doing wind sprints up and down the aisles. Well, Agnes collars him and loses the littlest girl, who then begins doing wind sprints in the aisle and rolling on the floor and all the things that 4 and 5 and, you know, little kids like to do. They're great kids. They're incredibly intelligent kids. They're incredibly active kids. And it was just, you know, there are elements of behavior in children that they reach a point where they just can't stand it anymore, and they must misbehave. It's genetically coded. I remember being there. All that Sunday school teaching, all the little old blue-haired lady good upbringing stuff that I got on Sundays and Wednesdays in the Baptist, and it didn't, when the time came, it, you know, I just went to pieces. And that's what happened. So Agnes finally catches the two littlest ones and looks at me. You know, the two eldest girls are behaving like young ladies. And Agnes looks at me and says, "You guys are doing great. You just keep shopping. I'm going to take these two out to the car. I'm not going to have us publicly humiliated in the midst of Kroger's." Okay, well, that makes sense. So I don't see Agnes again. I don't see Agnes again at all. I go through, I do my shopping. Oh, let's go get the butter. Hey, how about a half a gallon of eggnog? That kind of thing. I get done checking out. I wheel our huge basket of groceries out to the vehicle, where I find two of the most solemn-looking children you have ever imagined seated in the back seat, being as still as the grave. In the front seat sits my lovely wife, her mascara running like Custer at Little Bighorn, tears rolling down her face. "This is the way it was, honey." These were not tears of grief. These were tears of unmitigated mommy anger. And, you know, I'm the daddy, I'm the husband. My first response is, "What's wrong?" And I get, "You can go anywhere you want to with them for the rest of all time. I am never setting foot outdoors of our house with these little hellions again for so long as I live, so help me God." "What's wrong? You want to pick up the story here?" Well, as it turns out, while I was going on about my shopping business, and Agnes was leading the two children, one in each hand, up the aisle, they did what little children will sometimes do. They turned on her. Sarah flopped in the floor, and the boy screamed, "Let me go, let me go, you're not my mommy." Now this, in late 20th century, early 21st century, Fayette County, West Virginia, this raises an eyebrow or two.
No, it does not raise an eyebrow. It stops all commotion, all...
Everything became still.
It wasn't just still. There were a lot of eyes upon me. And what happens? They call the police, who come to the vehicle and look at me, and I smiled and
ma'am,
said...
"Ma'am, can we see your ID, please?"
"I can prove that they're
mine." Are these your children?
And I showed them the ID and their ID and explained to them if they arrested me, I wouldn't even sue them for false arrest. I'd gladly go. They wouldn't take me.
Darn the luck. But that's our great Thanksgiving adventure. Never mind the over the river and through the trees to grandmother's house. No. So part and parcel of me going to the grocery store this afternoon, hearken back a few years, because, hey, honey, you want to go? No. No. Take the boy and go on. So, I don't know. Do you have any Thanksgiving stories? I guess if you do radio, you're supposed to ask on a day like this, what are you most thankful for? Okay, but we're progressives and we're liberals. What are you most thankful for, and to whom are you thankful? And why? Because, you know, we're highly verbal. We can explain things. We don't need bulleted talking points from the likes of O'Reilly. Oh, and by the way, one last thing before we hit the break. Speaking of being thankful, I'm thankful for people who are willing to stand up for what they believe in. And it happened today. It happened today in Crawford, Texas. Daniel Ellsberg and a number of other people set up to protest nearby Deer Leaders Ranch. And since Camp Casey went down last summer, it's now illegal to set up a tent or anything like that in order to protest Deer Leader. So, there you have it. Daniel Ellsberg and a number of others. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for people willing to stand up and be proud and conscientious about the land they live in. I'm thankful. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my strength. Wait a while, eternity. Oh, my nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. It was was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder, the phone number's 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. And, of course, locally, 304-658-3333. Email's real easy, bob@headonradio.com. We check it frequently. Let's go straight to the phones. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, you're Head On.
I tell you, madness.
Madness.
Yeah, I was just reading about this Jose Padilla.
Yeah.
situation.
Yeah, they let's see. Basically charged with taking an overseas flight or thinking about one.
Yes, which is, you know, to every American citizen, that is a threat, you know, of their constitutional rights being busted. I mean, to pick an American citizen. I mean, you know, the first and foremost, the law is to protect all citizens, you know, the bad
exactly.
guys, the good guys. Whatever.
Well, you know, this guy is basically being prosecuted for thought crimes. At least that's my understanding of the story. Do you share that?
Something like that. But what are they charging him with now?
Well, they're charging. They finally got around to charging him not with being the dirty bomber. You remember when John Ashcroft came on the air? This is a special report. We have captured the dirty bomber. You remember all that? Well, they didn't charge him with any of that. They charged him with thinking about wanting to maybe someday go over and learn how to be a terrorist.
Yeah, that's pretty tight charges.
Well, you remember when Ann Coulter said that the only problem with Timothy McVeigh was that he blew up the Murrah Federal Building instead of the New York Times?
Right, right.
Why isn't she in Guantanamo?
Yeah, and O'Leary for his San Francisco comment.
Right. Look, if you can indict Padilla for his thoughts about what he wanted to do, Falafel Boy is in real trouble. Well,
yeah.
he would be if he was a liberal.
But what the threat is, though, to the American citizen is that he has been held over 3 years incommunicado.
Right. No lawyer, no family, no nothing.
No trial, no explanation of any charges. Nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, there is that pesky little constitutional amendment that says that everybody has a right to a speedy trial. But you can't have a speedy trial if you've never been charged.
Right. And some of the critics are saying that, well, they're just doing that to avoid a Supreme Court showdown to decide, you know.
Well, you know, they've already lost in the lower court levels. They were told post haste by a federal judge, you either charge him or you let him go. And the Bush administration just said, the heck with you. We'll do what we want to do.
Right. That's where your threat comes in if they continue to do that. I think it still should go to the Supreme Court. So there'll be no gray areas and it won't happen again. If they're going to do it, I think they actually arrested three citizens. I think one of them they held for a while and then said, well, nothing here. You can go ahead and go home. Some guy from Louisiana.
Right.
And some other one they got for, he's still in custody down there, too. I think they got him for, like, credit card fraud.
Well, and, I mean, this is the state of American justice. There was a conviction, I guess, yesterday. A man from Virginia, a young man. And, yeah, of course... his name's not Smith. His name is Ahmed Omar Abu Ali. And he was convicted based upon information that was gained from torture in Saudi Arabia. He was convicted of wanting to kill George Bush. Yeah, really, no kidding. But the thing is, he was arrested and tortured for 20 months, I believe, 20 months, by the Saudi authorities. And yeah. the feds introduced in court and used as the evidence to convict him, this torture evidence that was beaten out of him in Saudi Arabia. My God, who in Saudi Arabia doesn't? Well, I better watch what I say. There's a whole lot of people that don't like George Bush in the Middle East. And this kid gets convicted for it? I mean, that's another sham trial, Jethro.
According to the polls, about 70% of the Americans are kind of wondering what's going on, too.
Yeah, and the other 30% believe that Adam and Eve rode to church on a dinosaur.
Yeah. Well, now Congressman Murtha has come out, and he's saying he wants a meeting with the White House. So he's got an overwhelming response, and it's 78% to 22% that we need to get out of there.
Thank God, the light's finally going on. I just wonder where were these people on November 2nd, 2004, Jethro?
Well, they were still snowed under, still drinking the Kool-Aid. Of course, you know, all this information, it's wild. You know, they try to say that the Democrats in Congress had the same information.
Well, we know that to be a lie as of the report that I had last night. The September 21st, 2001 presidential daily briefing that said Saddam Hussein has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Al-Qaeda.
Right.
And that was withheld from the Congress until 2004.
Well, then they go and they try to blame it on Clinton.
Well, yes, of course.
Clinton's fault and this, that, and of course Clinton. But you know, Clinton, they had him contained, and he was actually, they had him defenseless, and there was no need to go to war. So just trying to blame it on Clinton and trying to say that Clinton, knew there was a big threat and stuff. They had him where they wanted him, and they knew he wasn't a threat. That's why Clinton didn't go to war.
Well, sure, and even they always like to bring up this what was the Saddam the Iraq Freedom Resolution or whatever that foolish thing was, where and Clinton signed off on it that regime change was the stated policy of the United States in regard to Iraq, and Clinton did that, but Clinton didn't start a war against them.
Exactly, and Clinton did keep the bombing up and the sanctions. That is what kept them disarmed and kept them on the ropes the whole time. And they didn't have a chance to get any weapons or any of this stuff. Like, and even Colin Powell and his top advisor, they're admitting that Colin Powell has done everything but say, "Yeah, I lied." He said that was the lowest part of his, low point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
The whole deal—it's just a sham, and it's all going to come out.
Well, it will.
Be revealed.
And we got to remember what Colin Powell said to Hosni Mubarak in 2001, was it, or January 2002? Saddam is no threat. I'm getting dirty looks from Agnes, Jethro. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, and even the Iraqi leaders over in Cairo of the three groups, the Kurds, Syrians, and Shiites, they want us out of there too.
Yesterday. Thanks a lot, Jethro. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Hi, Bob.
Later.
You going out tomorrow night?
No, tomorrow night. I'm going to watch a football game.
I hear you.
All right, later.
Later.
Bye now. All right, your phone calls are welcome. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? This is Head On.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I'm so calm and so collected and so proud of myself. I haven't managed to lose my mind thus far. Everything Jethro referenced was straight up stuff. The Jose Padilla case should give pause to every American, because this is the war on terror raised to the level of thought criminality. Yeah. You've got people like John Bolton, who is every day threatening the United Nations, who once argued that, you know, the several top stories of the United Nations building in New York should just be blown up. He said that, you know.
No.
And the United States Senate confirmed him to the ambassador, our ambassadorship to the United Nations. He said that. As I mentioned, Adam's apple Annie Coulter, with those, you know, miner's hands, she asserted that the only pity about Timothy, good, godly, upstanding, God-fearing, Christian, right-wing, Republican Timothy McVeigh's, the only thing wrong with what he did out in Oklahoma City was the fact that he didn't park his truck in front of the New York Times building. Meanwhile, Jose Padilla, who is apparently a real slug and a sleazebag, if you believe all the accounts, he's a gangland gangbanger, whatever the parlance is, who converted to Islam. And he said he thought there would be nothing better than to go abroad and learn how to be a jihadist. Jihad! And for that, he is going to be tried. Now, the wingnuts are the ones who have the real problem with all of this, because they're the ones with the paramilitaries up in Michigan and out in Idaho. And somewhere in the wilds of Montana, even, and down south. They've got the problems with these people. You know, the Republicans have the problems with the people who like to take high-powered rifles and shoot doctors. This is not a liberal problem. This is not a progressive problem. But the wingnuts and the freepers might well want to take a long look at the charges and the treatment of Jose Padilla, because they're next. They're next. All those sacred Second Amendment rights that they would throw away, the First Amendment, the Third, Fourth, Fifth, ad infinitum, all those rights that they'd throw those away for, they're next. They're next. Because I don't care how you vote in the so-called war on an abstract noun that is the war on terror. Any threat is a credible threat. Do you have your almanacs locked away? And of course, the terror nation supports the conviction of Ahmed Omar Abu Ali, who at the time that he had electrodes attached to his testicles, screamed out something about wanting to do something to George Bush in some stinking, filthy hole in Saudi Arabia. Well, he faces up to life in prison for what he said while his Saudi torturers were laying it on hot and heavy. And some judge held that to be credible. The right-wing nuts might want to pay attention to this, because they're next. You understand? Golly Moses, I hope so. I was reading at gunguys.com about word to the wise for the right and arm bears bunch. When you go to the restroom at the gun show, and you take off your genuine official Marshall Dillon gun belt. You know, when you close the stall in a public restroom, there's a little coat hook there, and that's what it's for. It's for coats. Don't hang your pistol on the coat rack. Right-wing genius with his genuine, artificial, genuine accessory Marshall Dillon six-shooter gun holster hung his on there while he went into the stall, went to take it off, got it hung up, and shot himself in the hand. Golly, Marshall Dillon! Oh, mercy. Let's go to the phones. Gary's with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good. Y'all set for Thanksgiving?
We're cooking everything tonight.
I'm going to try to do some of that after I get off the air, but I don't know what the heck I'm going to do about this frozen bird. I think this thing was transported from the Antarctic.
You just have to put it in a big pot of hot water.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to come to.
Yeah. Well, you've got a good show tonight. I was heard Jethro, and you know, I don't often agree with Jethro, but I think he's got a good point.
I think he has a great point, and it's you got to get past looking at we have to get past all the good reasons for hating Jose Padilla before you find the reasons for upholding his constitutional rights.
Well, you know, we got some people out there that I don't think if George Bush personally locked him up in jail and threw away the key, they would still support it. I mean, I don't know what it is about these guys. They just don't. They don't seem to have any. They seem to have blinders on.
36% of the American people, according to the latest Harris poll, Gary, 36% of the American people still think that that man is an upright and godly fella.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I don't. I never have thought he was. I think he's got a lot of people fooled. I really do. Did you see that one article I posted about the guy that got the war started?
No. I haven't been to the boards in a couple of days.
Well, there's a thing in Rolling Stone magazine. There's about this guy that they call him a perception management specialist.
Yeah, okay. I think I've heard about this article. I haven't seen it yet, though. I got to go look for it. Help me out.
Well, the guy, basically, he's on contract through the government. He makes a tremendous amount of money.
Oh, is this the Rendon Group?
Yeah, exactly. And we've got people like that out there in our government. Literally, the government is spending billions of dollars a year on what they would call perception management.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just simply to make you believe what they want you to believe.
You know, I remember a long time ago, Gary, a really long time ago, I was a senior in college taking a public relations course, and my senior project in the course was based on a theory that perception is reality.
Yes.
And
Orientals believe that.
Well,
I mean, it's a philosophical thing. They believe that if you perceive it, you know, it's there. But if you don't perceive it, it's not. I don't have to believe that. But I mean, when it comes to propaganda purposes, it seems to work pretty good.
Well, who is it? Marshall McLuhan. The media is the message, or whatever that line was. It's the way. Whether you believe it or not, it's the way government operates now.
Well, you know, my theory is, and I think it's more than a theory, I think it's provable, that we're in the middle of an information war. And we have all this information thrown at us, and even intelligent people can't really hardly sort it out. So, essentially, with an information war like this, you don't know what to believe.
Oh, no, half the time, I spend half the time thinking that I'm just Alice gone down the rabbit hole.
Well, because, I mean, we all start out with a certain bias, and I think that bias leads us in a certain direction to believe certain things. But when it comes right down to actually proving anything, we can't do it. There was a post on the board there about 911. There's a professor at
BYU. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read that?
Yeah, I read the articles a couple of weeks ago about him, and it's stunning. I tend not to believe what he has to say. I don't think that you had to have charges placed in the World Trade Center for them to fall straight down.
Well, that's fine and good, but what I'm trying to get at is there are a lot of people that will believe that.
Oh yeah,
and it is credible.
Well, and we've created an atmosphere where people are conditioned to believe it, and frankly, it's a good conversation to have given this point in time, Gary, because the American people's willingness to believe or disbelieve certain things, I think hinges on what happened 42 years ago yesterday.
Exactly. Well, that's the point I've tried to make. We have been deceived by our government on numerous occasions that we can prove. So therefore, when they say things, we tend to say, is that true or not?
Well, and it goes across the board culturally. I can well imagine, you know, especially during the Reagan era, all of those Office of National Drug Control Policy commercials, you know, this is your brain on drugs, this is your brain on, you know, ham and wheat toast. what happened to the kid who did try marijuana and didn't suddenly go absolutely bug-sprayed crazy insane. He learned a valuable lesson, sadly enough, and the lesson he learned is that the government and the people who think they know better for him are lying to him.
Well, exactly. It's just like that movie you've heard about, Reefer Madness.
Oh, not only heard about it, I've seen it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those types of things. When somebody lies to you, then everything they say becomes suspect. And that's the point I tried to make on the message boards. Of course, I got shouted down like I was an idiot over it. I mean, we've got some of those people on there that call themselves conservatives, and really all they are is just very, very mean-spirited people that just want to tear people down no matter what. If you tell them Merry Christmas, they want to tear you down for it.
Well, at least you're willing to say Merry Christmas. Bill O'Reilly would be proud of you, Gary.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And let me ask you just this kind of an aside. Now, I'm sure that we'll get heck on this, but what do you think happened as far as the Kennedy assassination?
I don't know. I know people who say that they can work a bolt on a gun like Oswald was alleged to have used just as fast as Oswald did, and get the same results. But I have problems with what appears to be a bullet striking the front of Kennedy's head. The Zapruder film. I mean, I've shot my fair share of weapons, and I've never seen a watermelon snap back.
Well, yeah, I mean, but see, there again, and the reason I ask you that isn't because it necessarily makes any difference what you believe.
No, I just don't know, and I wish.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is we don't know what to believe.
No.
Because we don't trust the Warren Commission. I mean, that really is most likely just a bunch of junk. And that rifle, I happen to know for a fact that Italian Carcano, that was considered to be hardly better than a walking stick during the war. It was the worst-made rifle in World War II.
Lucky if it didn't blow up in your face.
Yeah, it's just a piece of total junk. I mean, it's well known by anybody that collects the World War II rifles. And to hit a moving target like that, I'm not saying it can't be done. But then again, we've got this grassy knoll theory, and there seems to be some things that would support that. But the overall thing I'm trying to say here is because we've been lied to in the past, we don't know what to believe, and this is just one big information war.
Well, sure.
All these things come at us from all sides, and
well, you take the Kennedy assassination, then you and then you add the insult. I mean, this is salt in the wound of Watergate. I mean, it's so far in the dim and distant past now that most people don't realize that there was less than 10 years between the Kennedy assassination and Watergate.
Yeah.
It was insult on top of injury, and it was further proof that we would not be well advised to trust everything that comes out of government.
Exactly, and
the distance from Watergate to Iran-Contra is another 10 years or so, 12 years maybe, and the distance from Iran-Contra to the Iraq War. We've got two or three generations of Americans now who have had every bit of their willingness to believe what their government was saying completely destroyed.
Yeah. And, well, to be fair, though, we've got this information coming from both sides. I mean, what is true, what isn't. I'll tell you one thing right now. I don't believe everything the Democrats say by any means.
No, I try to sort it out for myself.
I don't believe what the Republicans say necessarily either. I mean, it's just...
But what happens when you catch one side in a vastly higher number of lies than the other?
Well, that affects your perception of who's telling the truth.
Right. Now, you heard last night the blather about me blathering on about Danny Bopp.
Yeah.
Okay, we know that he's one of those AstroTurf people. He called Gene Schmidt from somewhere in Ohio, and now he says he didn't even deliver the message she says he delivered. Okay?
I'm going to be honest with you, Bob. I really missed that story. So.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I mention it is I've got a little bit more to add to it tonight, and I hope you'll be around for it, because, I would never dream of suggesting that the Democratic Party is perfect. It is far from it. My God, as long as my party has people like Joe Lieberman in it, it's at risk. But the fact of the matter is, You don't find Democrats out there running around screaming for all the unmarried pregnant teachers to be fired like this creep Jim DeMint did in South Carolina. You don't find people like Coburn, Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, a senator who was running around screaming that there was a lesbian conspiracy in Oklahoma's junior high schools. Those guys aren't in my party. They're not in my party. And you don't hear a lot of that coming from Democrats because you don't hear a lot of Democrats beating the social issue drum.
Well, Bob, if you look at it from both sides, there are people out there who are supporting what they consider to be traditional values.
And couldn't, if they were pressed to, identify the very first one of them.
Well...
And assuming they could...
What undermines them? I happen to support those traditional values myself. What undermines them, though, is... We often find out that the very people that are supporting these traditional values are, you know, they got, you know, two wives on the side or something, you know.
So, I mean, because they're hypocrites.
They totally lose their credibility. That does not necessarily mean what they have to say is invalid, but it certainly taints the message.
Well, sure it does, and it shows you that message is being used for ulterior motives.
Well, that's, I think, one of the areas where my eyes have been open the most here in the last couple of years is I think the Republicans, all they are is talk. They talk a good game. They get into power, and once they get into power, they're 10 times worse than the people they replace.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head in a large part, but I think a lot of them go in there with those motives already in place. Look at Ralph Reed. Now,
I'm sure a lot of them, they have to go whenever those motives.
Yeah, Ralph Reed is the darling boy of the Christian right. Remember, he was Pat Robertson's fair-haired boy, his right-hand man, the Christian Coalition. Well, now he's broken away, gone all public relations, and now we know for a fact, Gary, that he was out there hustling Indian tribes for lobbying money over gambling.
Yeah.
And was part and parcel of the network of people that Michael Scanlon referred to as the religious wackos that they used to oppose one Indian tribe's gambling interests over another.
Yeah.
You know, it comes down to money. These guys, it's all money on one side, and they will use any social issue, they will use any little piece of hatefulness they can to try to divide the nation, because, you know, all this talk about family values...
come on now.
We're up to our necks in family values here, Gary.
Not all just on one side now. This is a two-prong thing. We know that. I mean,
where's the other prong, Gary? I mean,
look at Feinstein and all the rest of them. I mean, these people, they're up to their necks in all sorts of intrigue and things like that. Look at Feinstein's husband and his relations with China. I mean, it's not, Bob, I'll tell you what, I just don't buy it when you say that it's just all one side. It's not all one side.
I didn't say it's all one side, Gary, but I said one side is a heck of a lot dirtier than the other.
Well, that's a matter of perception. I mean, I think they're I think they're all dirty. Hey, at least you got me coming around enough so I can admit to the Republicans.
And that's it.
Bunch nowadays, and they are, and I'd like for all the so-called conservatives out there, and they're not conservative at all, anybody could ever vote for George Bush. And support George Bush is not one iota conservative, one bit.
Not the George Bush as we understand him. Gary, have yourself a great Thanksgiving.
You do the same, Bob.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Let's take care of this real quick. I mentioned, you know, we did talk about Danny Bapa, the Marine colonel who said that Jack Murtha was a coward. And, you know, you've heard the soundbite here on the show. Well, guess what? You and I both know that Danny Bopp is planted. Danny Bopp is AstroTurf. He's a representative in the Ohio legislature. Yeah, he's in the Marine Reserve. He has never set foot in Iraq. He's never had duty in Iraq. And as it turns out, you know, he made that call to Gene Schmidt from Ohio to Washington or whatever. But that's okay because, Rush Limbaugh can always lie about it.
Holy Toledo, folks!
The House will be in order.
The House will be in order. The House was not in order because somebody, a United States Marine on the floor, on the ground in Iraq, had the guts to get a message to the Democrats in the House of Representatives.
You getting this?
Not really that interested in Murtha, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you the truth. I know he got everybody's dander up all last week, but I think he's just the useful idiot of the moment.
You know, it's another one of those pray for a real live burning hell so Rush Limbaugh can go to it moments. He said, Rush Limbaugh claimed that Danny Bopp was a Marine serving in Iraq. Now, how many ditto heads out there do you think caught the reality that, in fact, Danny Bopp, though he is a Marine, has done everything in his power to stay the hell out of Iraq and as far away from it as he possibly can? But it doesn't matter. Rush Limbaugh lies about it, and it becomes fact. And it is absolutely, honest to God, sickening. And then that last remark, Jack Murtha is a useful idiot. Now, this guy dodged, and you know this, Flush Flimball dodged the Vietnam draft because he had infected pustulous cysts on his backside. Jack Murtha was in Vietnam when Flush Flimball was saying, "Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go." You see how it works? Jack Murtha is a useful idiot. Now, is it worth an email to your congressman or your senator to tell them that we resent American taxpayer dollars being used to send that filthy draft-dodging cowards program via armed forces radio and television to our soldiers serving in Iraq? We pay to make sure that Rush Limbaugh can say things like Jack Murtha is a useful idiot. A 34-year veteran of the Marine Corps, Jack Murtha is a useful idiot. We pay, well, I don't know, they only send like an hour or two of his program, and I'm sure he knows which ones are going, so he doesn't say that during the portion of the program that he knows is going to get beamed to the troops, because some Marine would come back and ring his rotten half-empty neck. You see? So, I tell you what, let's go ahead, we'll take our top-of-the-hour break. When we come back, well, it turns out Rush wasn't the only one who told that lie. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Help you.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. All right, over the river, through the woods, and downhill, two more hours to go in this night before Thanksgiving edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. What are you thankful for? Who are you thankful to? You know, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for the folks who make this show happen. I'm grateful for the support of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. I've got a lot to be grateful for. I'm thankful for the hard work that goes into producing this show on the part of my my lovely wife. And I'm thankful for the folks who keep me from having to just talk to myself. Speaking of which, let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Listen, I didn't quite understand your story about the grocery store this afternoon. What happened?
It wasn't this afternoon. This was several years ago. My kids decided to be very, very mean in the grocery store and basically created a police inquiry as to whether or not my wife was trying to slip away with somebody's kids.
Oh, they denied that she was her mother.
Oh, yeah. They laid down on the floor and screamed, "Leave us alone. You're not my mommy."
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the apple falleth not far from the tree, you know.
I think I can understand that.
Yeah, we're both of us paying our penance.
Yeah, I understand. By the way, number two, who is in charge of the discography of your show?
Oh, we both are. We run across a disc we feel like we ought to load or... you know, occasionally we'll be out in the store and buy something. And, hey, this looks interesting.
Well, I must admit, I think it's really pretty good because I've asked your wife several times, you know, what is this and what is that? And you have this techno version of Simeon Angel last night, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I have a taste for all that, that 80s stuff. I know there's a lot of people out there that think it's Dreck. But I think there was some good stuff produced there.
Oh, absolutely. The 80s were a good time for music. Absolutely. With New Wave and things like that. And, you know, the stuff came on later. And so, what can you say?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I called up, I heard that you and Gary were discussing the Warren Commission.
Yeah, we touched on it.
Yeah, well, just tangentially, I guess, but... You know, that's a strange piece of work. Have you ever read that thing?
No. I've read excerpts from it, but I've never sat down and read the whole thing.
Well, you know, the first 50 pages, if I remember correctly, deal with someone's dentition.
Yeah.
And I never quite understood what the connection between that and the assassination of John Kennedy was, and this is pursuant to what Gary said, that Italian carbine that was a mail order rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
from a sporting goods store in Wisconsin, wasn't it?
No, he ordered it. I don't know where he ordered it from, but it was an Italian. It was of Italian manufacture. It was a Mannlicher or something like that. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but anyway, how Oswald could have taken a Mauser action or a bolt action rifle and gotten the shots that he did by himself. It's beyond my belief. It's just impossible.
I don't know. I don't know that it's technically impossible, Jim.
Well, the FBI's top marksman couldn't do it. Now, the FBI had, they used cadavers. And they also used watermelons and all kinds of stuff. And they had the FBI's top marksman try to,
repeat
what Oswald had allegedly done and could not do it.
Well, and beyond Oswald's capabilities, you know, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then, as the saying goes. But the other end of that, the magic bullet theory, I think, is what has always troubled me the most.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, how could a bullet travel through two people and then come out in pristine condition was the same type of round when fired into a human cadaver's wrist showed appreciable damage.
Well, not just that, but in going through those two people, it has to stop in midair and defy the laws of physics. That's my understanding.
Terms. I mean, you know, whoever did the dialogue for Kevin Costner's in JFK, I mean, they really did a good job with that.
Well, a lot of that was pulled straight out of Jim Garrison's book.
Right.
On the Trail of the Assassins.
Well, you know, and we'll never know who shot that man.
No, I don't think we will. How best to put this? Knowing definitively who did the deed is impossible by virtue of the fact of everybody's dead.
Well, yeah, I have my own theories that, you know, basically the mob was very upset about Castro, and they felt as though...
Well, Sam Giancana was mad for a variety of reasons.
Well, Trump was, Santos Traficante was thrown out of Havana. He was the big kingpin down there. And then, of course, they were upset because of Robert Kennedy's prosecution of the Jimmy Hoffa thing involving, you know, mobsters involving the Teamsters Pension Fund. They didn't like that a bit.
No.
Or in the racketeers and the way Kennedy treated them. And, you know, old Joe had made a deal with them in Chicago. And they were the ones who were instrumental in getting Cook County to vote for John Kennedy.
Well, that's what some of the assertions have been. Now, I know you're fascinated with this stuff. If you, and it may have been on yesterday or the day before's page over at bartcop.com.
I didn't see it.
He had the recordings of Jack Ruby speaking about it.
Well, that you
can play from the page. It's quite fascinating.
Well, Jack Ruby, obviously, they did not want him to live because apparently he had some type of tangential connection with the people in Chicago, I believe, and or mob bosses in Chicago. That's where he was from, was Chicago, was it?
I'm not sure.
But nonetheless, you know, they could have gotten people in from Marseille or whatever. And they could have had a guy in a storm drain. They could have had another guy behind the grassy knoll. And, you know, it was a triangulated turkey shoot, my friend.
Well,
there's no way one man could have done this. I mean, the FBI couldn't do it.
I would very much love for us to finally, once and for all, know the answer and go, and frankly, go through a national period of healing. Because the reason Gary and I touched on it, Jim, was because that's a watermark in recent American history. My argument goes something like this. From the formation of the CIA out of the OSS.
Well, Wild Bill Donovan.
And the first CIA action against a foreign government, namely the overthrowing of Mossadegh in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Up through the shenanigans in the mid-50s with Guatemala. Into... the Cuban shenanigans and the business about making Castro's beard fall out, followed shortly thereafter by the floating of the plan, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. It's real. Operation Northwoods.
Right.
Followed by the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by the secretive war waged by the Nixon administration. Followed by Watergate. Followed by Iran-Contra. We have created... We have created a government in which we are hard pressed to put much faith. Does that make any sense to you, Jim?
Well, listen, Bob, in the intelligence communities, remember one thing is axiomatic: nothing is as it really seems. Okay.
Well, I don't doubt that.
And that's the way they operate. That's where they want it to be. I mean, the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. As far as dirty tricks are concerned, their effort is to find one that's bigger and dirtier. You know that.
Well, sure, but it's that sea change that took place in the United States, and you might even back it up one step further, and that would be the OSS's willing and complicit participation in the hiding of Nazi war criminals after the Second World War.
Well, sure, I mean, because they were instrumental in, well, for example, they wanted Reinhard Gehlen, who was Hitler's chief of staff for intelligence in the Eastern Front.
Yeah.
And he was definitely one of the main men they wanted.
And we
knew what the Soviets had basically as far as their, you know,
their tech,
nomenclature and all their, you know, their orders of battle and things.
And it was our willingness to enter into that, and you know, that's referred to as the beginning of the national security state.
Well, I mean, also they used Klaus Barbie.
Yeah, and Werner von Braun. You know, we hair-lipped hell to make sure we got Werner von Braun.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think he was any guiltier of any. Well, he knew that they used slave labor at Peenemünde. I know that.
Sure, and you know, there's the little matter of the V1 and the V2. He invented mechanized civilian slaughter on an unmanned basis.
Well, unfortunately, you know, he was a rocket expert, and he was a man whom the Germans happened to honor in his own time, and we realized that we were that far behind the curve. And, you know, I can't fault Werner von Braun for what he did.
I cannot do it. The area of Alabama where I grew up, Jim.
Huntsville, I'm sure they loved it.
Yeah. I mean, the von Braun Civic Center is there to this day.
But, I mean, of course, the people at the east end of London didn't, I'm sure, because
right.
Those buzz bombs were coming over like crazy, and so were those V1 and V2 rockets.
I forget which comedy. Maybe it was Firesign Theater, I can't remember, that did the bit that said, the rocket goes up, who cares where it comes down, it's not my concern, says Werner von Braun.
Yeah.
But all of this is the genesis of the national security state, the secretive state, and It's created an American public that is not only mistrustful of its government, but openly, in some ways, openly at least philosophically hostile to it. And I don't think that's a recipe for a bright tomorrow.
Well, I can agree with you to a point, but you know, unfortunately, in the world in which we live, in the world of real politics, you really have to have that sort of thing. You have to have it. It is part of the modern state.
Well, that appears to be the perception. But well, for instance, we have in many ways the national security state to thank for the failures that led up to 9/11. You know, the story that I had last night about the fact that the presidential daily briefing of September 21st, 2001, the existence of that briefing wasn't even made known to the Senate until 2004.
Well, Bob, the information is no better than the people who pay attention to it.
Well, that's true, too. And but if you're going to go to war in Iraq, for instance, and, you know, you're going to do it based on intelligence, what does it say about us that we did not have one single human intelligence agent on the ground in Iraq prior to the war? We relied on all this garbage from Curveball. Curveball was a German operative.
And also spy satellites and things of that nature.
Yeah, but sooner or later, you gotta have some cloak and daggers on the ground.
You have to have people who are physically there, and you have to have contacts and people who are willing to follow tips. And you know, you gotta have stool pigeons there too. But you can't do it from say 5 miles up with a satellite or using another government.
And consider, you know, this is another part of the problem with the Bush administration. You know, look who his national security advisor was, who his Secretary of State is now, a piano player with a degree in Soviet studies. You know, the Soviets are not the problem.
No,
and they weren't
not.
The problem when he was elected, and they hadn't been the problem for the last 10 years. Our problems are in the Middle East, and we've got a national security advisor who shops for Ferragamo pumps and thinks that Tchaikovsky's really keen.
Well,
and reads Tolstoy in Russian. Good for her.
Well, obviously, that's wonderful, too, and I'm sure she appreciates Constance Bennett's translations. However, any woman who would say that she could not envision an airplane being used as a Molotov cocktail when just before, in the previous year...
Geneva.
And over Genoa. They had the G8 summit, that they had cleared the airspace for that very same reason. I mean, that just doesn't pass the common sense test, and that's what I have really held against her from day one, because I believe either she is lying or she is stupidly wooden and woodenly stupid.
And I guess my central thesis in all of this is thanks to the assassination of John Kennedy, we are more presupposed to challenge that sort of thing. And come to think of it, maybe that's a good thing in her case.
Now, what do you mean? You mean you just accept what she said, like we accepted the Warren Commission?
Yeah. We don't do that anymore.
Well, I never have accepted the Warren Commission, and I've never accepted their explanation for 9/11.
Well,
I might be a conspiracy theorist. And
it doesn't
might call me half nuts, but, you know, I have a right to have my own opinions, and my opinion is that there's something rotten in the state of Denmark as far as John Kennedy and as far as 9/11 are concerned.
Well, and as far as Iran-Contra is concerned, and we may not even know what all happened in Watergate.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and how Ollie North can be exonerated for what he did in Iran-Contra, and Reagan can just got off scot-free, and these Republicans worship at his feet or at the tomb of the fallen warrior. I mean, Ronald Reagan, I just don't understand the fascination and the adulation people award this man with. I mean,
Jim, he was deified because he was all the Republicans had. Before that, they had Ford and they had Nixon. They had to have somebody to hang the imprimatur of Jesus on. I hate to cut it short, but we got to hit the break, Jim. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving. All right.
Well, the same to you. Good luck with your turkey. Don't ingest too much tryptophan.
I'll probably be almost comatose by kickoff tomorrow night. Later, Jim.
I started working on Christmas.
All right, good deal. Take care. And a quick break and then more of your phone calls, 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. Your choice. This is Head On.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really?
It's great,
you and your
man.
Kids start throwing like Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh, right,
stuff
right. Full on.
Sticks
right
to the on. Wall, you know. But anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know, how did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Welcome back. 25 and a half minutes after the hour, and straight back to the phones. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On. There you are. Oh, Jeff. I guess we lost Jeff. Well, doggone it. Let's Well, I kind of hate getting into the whole conspiracy theory conversation, simply because there are radio shows out there that are absolutely dedicated to this kind of stuff. And I'm fact-based. I'm into what can be proved. You know, I wasn't raised in a church school where you have to believe that Adam and Eve rode to church on the back of a dinosaur. So I'm a little bit loath to get involved in that conversation, just because you can, and it makes me crazy to get involved in it to a certain extent, because I like to know what there is to know, and I'm resigned at some level to not knowing about what happened with Kennedy. Maybe I'd be better off if I hadn't seen all the documentaries and blah 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 blah. Maybe we'd better be better. Certainly, we'd be better off if Jack Ruby hadn't shot Oswald. And God knows we would be better off. Oh Lord, we'd be better off if Oswald or Oswald and Friends or Oswald acting alone hadn't done what they did. Well, we are. Okay. Why not? I'll extend the break a little bit. Let's go back to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah. How you doing now?
I'm doing great.
Well, yesterday was Kennedy's assassination day, and I watched some stuff about it, which I've seen. I always like to watch the shows about how that happened and stuff. And I seen a guy make that shot yesterday.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. It can be done.
Well, I've seen a lot of arguments that it can be done, that it's done.
I've seen it done.
It's the distance involved was far less than that required of a Marine sniper, marksman, whatever.
It was just 160 foot.
Right. That's
they did it. I mean, they reenacted it every bit. I mean, they even went as far as getting bullets that were from the same lot number and the same manufacturer.
Were they able to recreate the magic bullet, Jeff?
Yeah, it hit like seven different angles. Yeah, that's what they did. They put this guy up 60 foot in the air, and they set the people right there, and they took ballistics gel, and they took rope to simulate Kennedy's spine and tendons and things,
mm-hmm.
And they shot at that angle, and plus the governor, what was that governor's name?
Connolly.
Governor Connolly. The entrance wound in his back was sideways. It was a long, like a keyhole entry, they call it.
Yeah, from the bullet hitting at a oblique angle.
Well, after it come out of Kennedy, it started tumbling,
mm-hmm.
And it hit him sideways.
Can we put you down, Jeff, for believing in the lone gunman theory?
No.
You think there was another?
I think what they have to do, and this sounds kind of crude, but to really study this more, they need to find a donor, somebody that passes away and go somewhere where nobody can, you don't want to do it in Dealey Plaza.
Right.
But take up a real human head and put it right there and get 60 foot in the air, 160 foot back, and shoot into it. And that forehead shot, it looks like it comes from the front right.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that wasn't a dum-dum up bullet, or I mean, it was just a full metal jacket bullet. So
yeah.
It wasn't explosive, well, more than any other bullet striking at that.
It wasn't a hollow point or a ballistics tip or a a cop killer bullet or nothing.
Right, exactly.
But it looks like he was shot from the front right.
Yeah, it does.
From either that manhole, from that storm drain, or up there in them bushes.
The grassy knoll.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. Whenever I watch that, I always feel sad, and I always just kind of think that, reading about him and where he was on his little PT boat, and it got cut in half, and, you'll read stories about him dragging men with straps in his teeth, dragging them to shore. And
yeah, he was the real deal.
For him to get shot by a guy with a $12 gun. You know, that nobody like him deserved to go down like that, I don't think.
No. You know? Well, you know,
it's pathetic.
A lot of America died with him. A lot of America's dreams and hopes and ambitions.
Yeah.
And it just
they had super slow motion. They took the ballistics gel and made it in body and neck shapes, and then they had a...
Was this Mythbusters or
no. No, it was somebody else.
Okay, like History Channel or something?
It was on Discovery.
Okay.
But they were pros. And they set that up there, and when they put the ropes in there, when it come out of what was supposed to be the neck, that slow motion, you could see the bullet tumble.
Yeah.
And go into that ballistics gel sideways. They made it, they said, it was just like a degree off or something, going towards the wrist shot or something. But it was amazing how they... Plus, I seen, the last year was the year before last, the 40-year anniversary.
Right.
They did a whole day of stuff that day.
Yeah, I remember that.
There
are people who would answer you, Jeff, by saying, yeah, that's a trained marksman under controlled conditions.
Well, I think Oswald was a big Army shot, too, or something, wasn't he?
He was
in the military.
Yeah, he was a Marine.
So... But they said that on the 40-year anniversary shows I seen a guy, he racked that bolt like three times in 4.6 seconds and hit the watermelon on the last one and hit the neck on the first one.
It's still some pretty fancy shooting. We're late for our break, though, Jeff. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving, all right?
All right. We'll listen to you Friday. Thanks for letting me talk.
All right. Sure thing. Take care. And let's hit this break and then come back. More phone calls. And, hey... More fun with right-wing nuts telling fibs about Danny Bopp.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Over the weekend, I saw the film Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices, and one of the features of the film was a huge shareholders meeting where Walmart's CEO was praising the company's profitability, and that they are. Walmart is the biggest company in the world, with annual profits in the tens of billions of dollars. All this is great for the shareholders and company executives, but lousy for its workers and for the communities where they drop their megaton pill boxes. Walmart workers earn close to poverty-level wages and are forced to rely on government-subsidized health care, even as the company takes millions in subsidies from local governments. And the low-priced products are made by workers in countries where there are no protections, who often work 7 days a week for wages that simply keep them in poverty. When liberals put together the New Deal, they empowered workers in this country like never before. And even businessmen like Henry Ford, who was an admirer of fascism and despised unions, understood the logic that it does a business no good if the employees can't afford the products the company sells. American financial prosperity was built because even an unskilled laborer can earn enough money to support themselves and their families. Walmart is a perfect example of what George W. Bush calls the ownership society. But if we were to give it a truer definition, it would be plantation capitalism. Because everyone except the shareholders and executives are reduced at best to indentured servitude and at worst to slavery. So when you think about the ownership society, think about who owns who. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Well, I was born an original sinner.
Yeah, that's me. Welcome back. 23 and a half minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this night before Thanksgiving, Over the River and Through the Woods edition, and prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and as usual, a shout-out and a howdy to all our friends there in the Tom Hartman chat room. Thanks to Tom for allowing people to use it through the day and sit there and chat during this program, among other things. So, hi, gang. Let's go straight to the phones. Ed's with us. Hey, Ed, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how's it going this evening?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to hear from some of the folks on there, like Jim and Jeffro. It's real always good to hear somebody that is tolerant enough to listen to somebody that's got some sense.
Yeah.
On every other program I ever heard of, you know, the cut him off or start running their mouth or out talk him. Same old shooting him up rodeo.
No, we don't kid when we say this is free speech radio.
Yep, I agree. But first of all, I hope you and your family have a real good Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and the same to you. I guess you'll probably be up to your eyeballs and grandkids, won't you?
Or more than that. Probably a war tub full of candy.
Oh, mercy.
But I wanted to ask you a question. Me and my son have been going around and around, and I don't like to argue with him because he's what do they call him, libertarian?
Yeah.
I told him that was still nowhere. He's spinning his wheels. He's wasting his vote. But we got into it pretty hot and heavy last night on the content of what Dan Rather was dismissed over. And I told him I knew a guy that would tell me, and I would relate it to him. But they didn't necessarily fire him over the content of the...
He didn't get fired.
Well, whatever.
He resigned, and frankly, had been pondering retirement for some... or not resigned, retired, and he'd been pondering retirement for some considerable period of time.
But that really just pushed it over the...
Yeah, it was. It was a tipping point.
Yeah.
And they did fire the producer of the segment in question.
Yeah, I saw where they got the woman that was... that let it slip by.
Right, but the question is, did anything slip by? The fact of the matter is, they never ever addressed the substance. They had a hissy over the document being allegedly dummied up. But what they didn't do anything about, the Bush administration never to this day has addressed the substance contained within that document, and that is that centers, Ed, on whether or not George Bush showed up and fulfilled his military obligations when he was required to.
Mm-hmm. So it was he quit because of the pressure that was put on or whatever. Is that safe to say?
Rather, you mean?
Uh-huh.
I hesitate to sign off on that, Ed, simply because the right wing wanted that to be true so badly. But the fact of the matter is, it was months and months and months after this happened before he left.
Yeah. So it really wasn't the content could have been very well been true.
Yes, and I maintain to this day that it most likely is true.
Yeah. Well, that was and then my son was arguing that was a proven fact that Dan Rather gathered misinformation. I told him it just wasn't backed
no,
up.
No, there's no truth in that whatsoever.
Yeah, I may just have. Are you? You'll probably take a break tomorrow night, won't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna knock off and watch the West Virginia Pitt game.
Okay. Well, he's gonna be in here till Saturday. I may just get him to call you.
Well, that'll be fine.
And let you tear his hind end up good for him. he's just like the rest of them. You get the best of them and prove it, and he starts he started
bobbing and weaving.
The real thing they all got going for him all the time is the name calling, and that's where we wound up last night. And hot, I was hot under the collar, and so was he. But he's still coming in, so I guess.
Well, good.
I guess it wasn't too bad.
Well, yeah, maybe that's something to avoid at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Or depending on how good the food is.
Right. Well, I have no doubt it'll be some mighty good eats.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I can't think of that guy's last name, that Jack, whatever his name is.
Murtha, yeah.
That is typical. They're doing him, you know, he was okay. He was in the nest with them as long as he didn't speak out, as long as he was for the war.
Yeah.
But then, how many of them have you seen try to destroy him, even their own people like McCain? When he run against them, they don't mind who that they run that kind of rhetoric against.
Well, it's a theory of politics, Ed, that goes back to doggone it, he was George Bush the first's man, South Carolina, died of brain cancer. Can't remember his name right now. He's the guy who invented Willie Horton and Dukakis in the tank ad. It is scorched earth politics is what it is. They will destroy anyone, anything, anywhere, anyhow, just to achieve political power.
Uh-huh. And while Bush was over there in these other countries, supposed to be making amends and fixing it better for everybody, he was answering questions. I mean, he had to come back, his press secretary did, with all this junk against, what's his name, Jack, what'd you say?
Murtha,
yeah. And that shows you where they're at. They're so busy pulling stuff like that to cover their tracks that they haven't got a real good hold on taking care of business.
Well, no, they've been so busy destroying people that they've just about destroyed the United States in the process.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look what's going down with GM.
Yep.
30,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, that ain't the end of it. For every auto worker's job, there are 7 jobs that revolve around it.
Sure, and the Delphi parts operation, they wanted people to go from getting $27 an hour, wanted them to take a pay cut to 9?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well...
I mean, this is the American dream under assault, Ed.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just show me one thing. No, I'm afraid you'll be able to come up with one. Show me 2 things that the Republican Party has ever done for the working man, and I'll vote Republican tomorrow. That's how sure that not a social program has any of them been responsible for. Now, some of them may have voted for it, but I'm talking about initiating it.
The only thing I can come up with offhand, and this is not necessarily labor related, but Richard Nixon did sign into existence the Environmental Protection Act.
Mm-hmm. And then it took another Republican to tear it up.
Right, because they hate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that takes some rights away from these companies, and
no, it gets in the way of their making a buck.
Yeah. Well, did you happen to watch what China is putting up with over in the... I watched the same channel that Dan Rather used to be on.
Yeah, CBS.
Yeah, and he... They run a thing on China's water,
mm-hmm.
and what it was doing to the people, and they said that the smog and the stuff was worse than... I forget what they... conditions they compared it to, but it was as bad as any conditions that we've ever put up with.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not an excuse to get for us to get worse, but it shows you that they're becoming a democracy maybe isn't always so good.
Well, in the case of China, the one thing that I always remember the most, Ed, is, you know who Don Nealon is?
Oh, yeah.
Retired West Virginia University
right,
football coach, for those who don't know. The coal industry in China is booming. They've got to have the coal. They've got to burn the coal. They are energy starved over there. And they lose something on the order of 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 miners a year.
Yeah, I know. Every once in a while you see where there's several of them at a time.
Yeah, and I mean, they lose them in the thousands per year in mining accidents and mine explosions, that kind of thing. Well, it was only a couple of years ago when Don Nealon came out in an opinion piece and said that we in the United States need to deregulate coal mining so that we can be more like the Chinese.
Yeah.
And Ed, that's an example to me of Republican thinking at its absolute finest. Because you talk about the pollution, the smog, the filth, the heavy metals in the groundwater, the absolute destruction of the Chinese people by virtue of rampant burgeoning industry. What you're looking at there is the dreams of the Republican Party for America.
Yeah. Well, considering the source, Don Nealon, and how he left there, where there was $1 million missing, I think that says a whole lot for itself. I never did have any use for Don Nealon, and don't today. He was always running his mouth, and I'm getting off of.
I understand.
Talking about a little bit, but he was always running his mouth on how good the other team was and how hard it was going to get to beat them. And what does that do for a player that you're coaching?
I understand.
I have no use for him.
Well, but more importantly, you know, when a man like that says we need to mine coal like the Chinese,
that verifies all I need to know.
Yeah, and like I said, the Chinese don't have the regulatory structure to try to protect their natural resources that we used to have before the Bush administration started trying to gut them. China is, honest to Pete, Ed, China is an absolute vision of the dreams of the Republican Party. No labor union that can stand up to industry, a government that is absolutely complicit with industry in achieving its goals, and workers who are paid whatever, you know, whatever they feel like paying.
And a dissident is just, he might as well hang his hat.
Well, a dissident gets sent off to a re-education camp pumped full of psychotropic drugs and just kept under wraps.
Yeah, or are they one of the nations that shoot them in the back of the head and sell their body parts? Are they one of those...
I know that kind of stuff is out there about China. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I won't hold you up any longer. I'm just hope Jim and Jethro and all the guys have a real good Thanksgiving day, and the best to all of them, and to you and your family.
As well to you, Ed. We sure do appreciate having you around.
All right. Well, thank you.
Take care, and my best to all your family.
All right, sure will.
Bye now.
Good night.
I'm not kidding about China. You know, they hold our debt. We are beholden to them. And I can't understand the so-called conservative wing that likes having to bow a bended knee to the Chinese communists. Although how communist they are is open to interpretation. These are the Chinese government has a bigger representative complex in Bentonville, Arkansas than they have embassies in most countries of the world. What does that tell you? The three and the environmental, the folks with an environmental bent will know or will recognize the Three Gorges Dam. The Three Gorges Dam is a water control, flood control project that is making homeless literally millions of Chinese people. And guess what? The policy that led to the Three Gorges Dam is the same policy that a lot of Republicans want for our streams and our waterways. Let's go to line one. Hey, you're head on. Agnes forgot to write your name down. I'm so sorry.
It's Fritz.
Oh, hey, Fritz. How you doing?
All right. How's it going, Bob?
Doing pretty good. Y'all ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, definitely.
Good deal.
You know, I'm listening to this talk about the Republicans and the Chinese, and I think the irony is that behind our backs, the Chinese are probably developing alternative energy. I mean, I know damn well they are.
Well, they have put in, for all my complaints about their environmental problems, they at least recognize them, and they have, in fact, put in place more stringent atmospheric air rules than what the Bush administration proposed with the so-called Clear Skies Initiative.
Yeah, it's quite ironic, and you know, if we don't do something real soon, we're just going to end up not even in the mediocrity portion of the battle. We're going to the barrel. We're going to end up right on the bottom of that barrel, you know. And it's like our opportunity to regain our status in the world would come if we could develop alternative energies. And I won't get into specifics, but you know, they're hydrogen solar based. And then sell them to the rest of the world, you know, and then tell the Arabs and their oil to go to hell. You know, that's really what we would need to do to regain our stature economically on this planet.
Well, and from a national security standpoint, Fritz, it's not a bad idea either, because if you can take a little bit of this oil money out of the coffers of the Middle East, well, you've just you've certainly taken away a lot of bomb making money, haven't you?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. And, you know, the reason it came up for me is I had a conversation with a gentleman named John Lesh last night who called me out of the blue because I responded to a little interview he did on Air America and sent him my name and told him that I could write some science for him if he needed it. And, in fact, I'm going to do so. And this is a man who's challenging Dennis Hastert.
Oh, really?
In Texas. And I would urge everyone to go to his website and check him out.
John Lesh?
That would be quite a coup if we could dethrone Hastert.
Oh, yeah, and Hastert's in Illinois, right?
I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What am I saying?
Yeah, I think you said Texas, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of old Tom DeLay.
Yeah, the Christmas wish of every Democrat in America. Yeah, take back Sugarland, Texas.
Yeah, basically.
You said John Lesh is the guy's name?
His name is John Lesh, L-A-E-S-C-H.
L-A-E-S-C-H?
S-C-H, right.
Okay.
And his website is johno6.com, real simple.
johno6.com. Did I hear him interviewed on Mike Malloy's show?
Yeah, that's exactly where you heard him interviewed.
Okay. Yeah, he sounded like a pretty solid guy.
He characterized himself as a Kucinich Democrat, or he worked for Kucinich in that campaign till the very end. And when I heard that, I said, I gotta talk to this guy.
Yeah, help this guy somehow. Anybody in the Kucinich mold is worthy of my consideration and my support as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, mine too.
Did you hear Kucinich's remarks on the House floor, I guess it was Friday?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Oh, he stood up and he said, I've been working against this foolhardy war for three solid years with people from both sides of the aisle, and it is time for the Bush administration to come clean with the American people, admit its mistakes, and begin to try to save some American life. He is one of the most amazing, stirring, talk about somebody that makes you want to go out and play some John Philip Sousa music and actually wave your American flag for
yeah,
a change.
Yeah, really.
He does that for me.
And the thing about it is he comes from a position of peace.
Yeah.
You know, he's working with the peace movement and, you know, that whole Department of Peace initiative, and also with people like Marianne Williamson. The guy is really, really a peace advocate, yet the patriotism does flow when you hear him speak. That's what's so wonderful about him.
Well, you know, I was his state coordinator here in West Virginia during the campaign, and I didn't do half the job that I needed to do. But he was such an inspiration when I got to meet him. Very straightforward, because, you know, I asked him, you know, being the sort of the blood and guts frothing at the mouth Democrat that I am, I said, what about impeachment? And he said, it's the last thing in the world. You know, this is Dennis Kucinich. It's the last thing in the world this country needs, he said.
Yeah.
He said, let's not even mention that word, because what we've got to focus on is throwing the man out of office via the electoral process.
Yeah, you know, that's Dennis. And, you know, sometimes people who are blood and guts Democrats look at him and they say, well, wait a minute, we want a stronger response to that. But that's not the way he does it.
No, it was smart politics. And there was a reason I asked that question, because it showed how genuinely considerate he was of the process and of what it was going to take. Because now we're facing a point, Fritz, where impeachment is the only way to save us the last 2 years of Bush's god awful presidency.
Oh yeah.
But back then, he had that good focus. He had that eyes on the prize kind of approach to things, and I really, really did respect him for that. And I hated the way that the mainstream media.
Oh God, they really brutalized him, didn't they?
Oh yeah. Well, when the best press the man can get is somebody creating a Have Breakfast with Dennis Kucinich blind date.
Oh God, yeah, I remember that. It was so good.
You know, Will Rivers Pitt is such an excellent writer, and I was proud when he was on board as communications director for Dennis Kucinich. And I hope Dennis doesn't think that it was some sort of a, and I never got the idea he took it that way, some sort of a vanity candidacy, because somewhere down the road, he's the kind of guy that's going to come in and clean up the mess that these monsters are making.
Exactly. You're going to need someone like him because of his measured approach.
Exactly.
So, monsters is exactly it, Bob. Well, I hope no monsters appear on either of our Thanksgiving tables.
No, the only monster is a 25-pound rock-solid bird. I've got to get to work on him.
Frost, Bob.
All right. Take care, Fritz. Good to hear
you
from
too.
You.
Have a great one.
Thanks. Bye. Happy Thanksgiving. John06.com. Go have a look. John Lesh opposing Dennis Hastert. God, that would be a feather in our cap. This is Head On.
You. Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Yeah.
a night on the horizon. Bright light in sight, tight camera zoom on the impending doom. But then like boom, black suits fill the room up with the quickness, talk with the witnesses, hypnotize up, normalize up, vivid memories turn to fantasies. Ain't no MIBs, can I please do what we say, that's the way we kick it. Yeah, I mean, let's give a noisy cricket, get wicked on ya. We're your first, last, and only line of defense against the worst scum of the universe. So don't fear us, cheer us. If you ever get near us, don't jeer us. We're fearless, some of my bees freezing up all flag. That's it for men in black, and. Let me see you just bounce it with me, just bounce with me, just bounce it with me. Come on, let me see you just slide with me, just slide with me, just slide with me. Come on, let me see you take a walk with me, just walk it with me, take a walk with me. Come on, and make your neck work. Now freeze.
Backward skate, everybody, backward skate.
In closing, I know we might seem imposing, but trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection. Cause we see things that you need not see, and we be places that you need not be. So go with your life, forget the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, cause that's the men in, that's the men in.
No. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, so the way the logistics of Thanksgiving work around here, when we get done, that granite 25-pound thing that's masquerading as a turkey, well, it's going into some sort of vessel of warm water to thaw. Then there's a couple of pans of cornbread to make. Got to roll out the sweet potato croquettes. Mmm, yum. The dressing. I love the dressing. But I agree with, Food Network, Alton Brown. Dressing does not go in the bird. Yuck. That's just gross. So it's 6.5 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. You know that. 658-3333, area code 304, of course, is one of the numbers to get aboard with. And 877-443-2366. Is the other if you need us to carry the freight. Your phone calls are more than welcome. And sincerely, I hope you all have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. It would probably be worthwhile to contemplate the origin of Thanksgiving, and we might do that later in the hour. I want to start out with a couple of emails, though. Our friends, the two Davids, David in South Carolina and David in Nash Vegas, both when I had the brain freeze that prevented me from remembering the rotten, dirty, evil, sorry seventh son of a syphilitic sea cook who Willie Horton'd America for George Bush the first. That was Lee Atwater. A name that will live in infamy, you know, how I could forget that, I don't know. I put it on a brain cell that I subsequently killed, I guess. David in South Carolina notes Lee Atwater was the evil bastard who begged for mercy as he took his last breath. He begged for mercy, but he did not apologize. Of course, I guess that doesn't much matter when it's your last breath. But both Davids caught on that it was Lee Atwater, and I appreciate it. See, that's what makes this all so much fun. Because I can't reach across and touch. But I'm hanging out with smart people. I'm hanging out with fun people. If I had my druthers, I'd have a huge table tomorrow. And, you know, 4 or 5 dozen of those 25-pound monster birds. Because Thanksgiving with the people who listen to this show, or any meal, any big festive meal, would be an absolute blast. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, I'll be thinking of you guys tomorrow. And an email from our buddy Peter, I assume, hanging out over in the Tom Hartman chat room with all the other gang. I was talking about Flush Flimball and his willingness earlier to just tell outright lies about this Danny Bopp creep, this foot soldier for the hateful right-wing religion industry, Danny Bopp. And Peter emails in, I happened to be in the doctor's office this week, and while waiting, I picked up a Time magazine. Well, maybe this isn't new to folks who read Time, but I was horrified to see a full-page ad for Rush Limbaugh proclaiming him as America's journalist. Excellence in broadcasting. I saw that ad, too. How dare he refer to himself as a journalist? I mean, I've done journalism in the past. He hasn't. He was a shill for the Kansas City Royals for a while. And he was a disc jockey. Hi, I'm Jeff Christie, playing the hot hits of the middle 70s right here in the Steel City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, who've I got on the line? You know, and he was doing that excellence in broadcasting shtick all the way back then. Back when he was getting busted for gay pandering in that particular district of University of Pittsburgh. As Jeff Christie. It had something to do with his being let go there. But anyway, that's me. That's not Peter. Peter says, well, Bob, if I wasn't feeling well when I went into the doctor's office, I was sure as hell sick now. Well, I think the standard of care in any state should probably prohibit the... Why would any doctor have that oxymoron anywhere in his office? That's just wrong. What upset me even more, though, Peter says, more than seeing the three-hour hate monger's color glossy full-page picture, was the fact that this ad was carried in mainstream media while the United Church of Christ's ad was again rejected in October 2005 for not the ad where they refused to hate gay people. Yeah. What in the hell's wrong with the media? Hugs to you and Agnes. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
And he says, P.S., I'm thankful for truthsayers like you. I'm going to blush. It's so apropos you would raise the issue of that ad, Peter. I appreciate it. Because just not too awful long before I went on the air, I ran across a story, from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, headline, Fox News Won't Show Ad Opposing Alito. Now, we've talked about Sammy Bad Breath Melito a number of times on this program. We know what a monster he is. Well, a group of groups, I suppose you would say, including the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, People for the American Way, and the Alliance for Justice, as well as abortion rights organizations, all wanted to just buy an ad on Fox to point out some of the things that Sammy Bad Breath Melito has ruled on in the past. Not the least of which was the 2004 decision where the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that a search warrant, the warrantless search of a little 10-year-old girl was improper and had to be thrown out. Bad Breath Melito was on the wrong end of that one, of course, doing the wrong thing. Most of his noteworthy cases, the cases that really get the right wing monkeys hopping good and break them into their sort of Bobby Soxer little girls at the Ed Sullivan Show watching the Beatles for the first time flop sweat, are his dissenting opinions, where he takes dead aim on the United States Constitution, just as he did in this particular case where he ruled that it was okay for cops to search little 10-year-old girls without a blessed warrant. And of course, Fox can't be bothered to allow that to run. Fox wrote back to them and said, it's not factual. Damn, when this thing first broke, I had the case site, I had everything. And we read from the case itself what a monster this sick freak is, Sammy Bad Breath. Sure we did. And so, no, it's okay. They won't allow, you know, ads from a church saying, hi, we're the United Churches of Christ. We don't hate gay people. No, we can't run that. And they can't run ads from people who want to point out that Sammy Bad Breath wants to legalize the strip searching of little 10-year-old virgins. Can't do that either. Can't talk about the fact that Sammy Bad Breath said it was okay for corporations to discriminate against potential employees based on race. Can't have that. But we can run swift boat ads till hell won't hold us. That's Fox. A call a little bit ago reminded me of something. There was mention made of the heroism of John Kennedy in saving his shipmates in the wreck of the PT-109. Jesus, God, can you imagine what the Republican Party of today would have done to him, considering what they did to John Kerry? Well, there's no proof he broke his back. He was able to swim with those injured sailors to that island, wasn't he? How could you, my friends, how could you possibly swim to an island with an injured back carrying your fellows, your shipmates, if in fact you were indeed injured? We do not have to put up with the lies of John Fitzgerald Kennedy in this country, my friends. Thank God for the Republicans who were on that boat who can tell us that it was all a lie, and Fox would run it from now till the next century. I despise them. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. your phone calls. And speaking of Fox,
once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Sticking around. Email from our pal David in South Carolina. It says, Happy Thanksgiving to you and Agnes and your family. says Grandma's mixing up the dressing here in the kitchen, and we'll be frying the turkey in the morning. Oh, David likes to live dangerously. Oh, that fried turkey's good stuff, though. And is there any dressing better than, Grandma's dressing? I don't think so. We were talking about what we're grateful for. I'm grateful that my grandson, David says, is doing much better. He had many close calls this past year, so I'm thankful for all of the emergency technicians, helicopter pilots, nurses, surgeons, and other professionals. I thank my family and friends. This is Bob. We really do appreciate everything you do and wish you success with the show. Thank you, David. That means a boatload. Let's go to the phones. We'll do this Fox stuff eventually, but I prefer to talk to people. Nanette is with us. Hey, Nanette, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm just antsy for tomorrow.
Oh, are you really?
I have a blast on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a really special day.
It is.
I just really wanted to call and wish you and Agnes and your family a wonderful holiday. And I don't want to forget Jethro and Gary and Jeffrey and everybody on the board. They're my buddies on the board, even though we have some disagreements.
Oh, shucks, yeah.
But I just wanted to know, I just think they're my, let them know they're my board buddies, and I wish them the best.
Well, bless your heart.
And I was listening to you talking about Rush Limbaugh, talking about JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And a thought went through my head. Perhaps JFK has a lot higher tolerance to pain. He doesn't need OxyContin to save his friends.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Sometimes adrenaline kicks in and you forget the pain.
Well, yeah, and sometimes your basic human decency kicks in.
And that's
something of which Limbaugh is also severely lacking.
I suppose so. Yes, I suppose so. But basically, I just wanted to wish everybody the best, and
you're gonna have
everybody, and I just wanted to know it.
Well, I appreciate it, Nanette. You going to have a whole bunch of folks there at the house tomorrow?
No, we're having ours on Saturday because my daughter has to work tomorrow. So, you know, hospitals don't wait.
No, they don't, and somebody's got to do it, and, we certainly are grateful for folks like your daughter who will work on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
That's a profession, the nursing profession is one that doesn't get nearly the appreciation that it deserves.
I know that. So we usually have our Thanksgiving maybe a day or two later when she can get a day off.
Turkey's going to be just as good.
Yeah, well, sure it will. But as a matter of fact, I don't even have to cook it this year, and we're going to my sister's, which is great.
Oh, my goodness, you are. You're getting off easy.
Yeah, well, no, not really. We're remodeling.
Oh, okay.
And my kitchen's a mess. So we're going to my sister's. So hopefully by Christmas I can have everything at my house. So.
Well, that'll be just wonderful, and I envy you your remodeled kitchen, too.
Well, we're doing it all ourselves, and we're working on the countertops now. We're doing the tile work and everything. And
oh, I bet it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I just don't particularly. I haven't found a contractor I like.
Really?
I like our work better. It takes us a little longer, but we take more pains with it.
And you're prouder of it when you're done.
Right, that's for sure.
Well, but you guys have the best holiday, okay?
Well, you too.
And my regards to Paul.
Sure.
And next time you see the gang, the whole Coal River Mountain Watch gang, tell them I'm itching to hear from them. I know Judy and Bo have been busy as beavers.
Well, so's Patty.
Oh, and Patty as well. Yeah. Just tell them all I said hello. All right.
I surely will do that.
All right. Thanks, Nanette.
Okay. Happy
Take care.
Thanksgiving, everybody.
And you too.
Okay. Bye
now. And David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Hi there, Bob. Let's rather than just a simple amen coattail on Fox, wonderful Fox, you've pretty well outlined and given us background and perfect detail on how they operate and what they do, but let's make sure everybody knows that it's tied into a bigger picture and it's hardwired into a bigger picture. We had this thing a day or two ago where Tony Blair purportedly talked W out of bombing an Al Jazeera headquarters, the Al Jazeera headquarters.
Yeah.
In Qatar, an ally of ours, at the not even neutral ground, an ally.
Yeah.
supposedly our friend, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the White House is saying, oh, no, couldn't have happened, wouldn't have never, it's just massively incorrect. And there are those in England that say, no, I sat in the room, George was serious, and Tony talked him out of it. Now, let's connect that to Fox. Fox is revered. It is a mechanism. The Republicans, the neocons, the Republicans, the worst of the worst. It is how they delude and cause America to swallow vile substances they should never swallow, put out by the Republican Party. So the Republican Party knows exactly how, in their own mind, how powerful a bad network can be. And let's say, and I'm not saying that they are, I think they are closer to the truth than Fox by any stretch. Let's say that, for the sake of the discussion, Al Jazeera was as tilted toward the Middle Eastern, the native Middle Eastern Muslim position as Fox is toward the neocon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Republicans want to drive Al Jazeera out of business. They fear anything that offsets, balances, reacts against, brings up contrary points, has an honest-to-God discussion. That's why they fear Al Jazeera so much.
Well, not just that, but they fear Al Jazeera because Al Jazeera is beyond the reach of their ability to censor. You know, they've got Fox, and frankly, let's not kid ourselves, they've got CNN, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, Disney, ESPN. They've got everybody cowed within an inch of their lives or bribed by virtue of huge corporate tax cuts. They've got that. Now, the one thing that occurred to me, though, because I saw some, in seeing the coverage of this story, David, I saw, you know, there was no sound, of course. But it was just footage of an Al Jazeera anchor sitting at a desk. And, you know, it's not like there were crossed scimitars behind the walls and people with red checkered tablecloths on their heads. And I mean no disrespect to anyone who chooses to wear the keffiyeh. But central to all of this, there was an absolutely stunning, beautiful woman anchoring at that desk. Her hair was flowing behind her head. She was impeccably dressed, her makeup was perfect, and she was, I mean, beautiful. Now, if Al Jazeera was the organ and mouthpiece of Osama bin Laden or the weirdo Wahhabis...
That could have never, ever, ever made the air.
Or at best...
But a plain face surrounded by black cloth.
Right, and the little raccoon, reverse raccoon eye slit in the, it's not a burqa, they got an abaya or something like that. But you're right, it never would have happened.
Well, it's an Arab slant on things, and they're do that. What's going to happen in a few short months when they vote themselves into truer, stronger, more legitimate power? They're already saying, even before the election, we want you guys to leave, could you make it quick?
Yeah, how about yesterday?
How about yesterday? They either want to have their civil war and let the winner take all, or they want to talk about it in the absence of us.
Well, how much more plain does it have to be for us, David, when they issue a joint communique that was agreed on, bear in mind there haven't been these kind of agreements since the life of the Prophet, agreed on by the Sunnis, the Shia, and the Kurds all together saying, yeah, we got you on this one, that, you know, the terror bombings against Iraqis have to stop, but it's okay to keep bumping off the Americans. How much more plain does it have to be for us? You know, John Murtha's right. We are their enemy.
Oh, of course he's right. I mean, it was closed season on everybody else, and they were issuing all the tags anybody wanted for us, you know, and creating check-in stations.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. And the other side doesn't get it. No matter how many schools we build, no matter how many soccer fields, it's not going to change the fact that we're running around their turf with our guns killing their people.
We can't clean enough sewers. We can't, you know, have water service for 30 days and then decide we don't want to bother anymore and move along, change units, and the captain in charge of that area says, I'm not doing anything for those people. You know, let them get their own water. We can't do enough of that to offset. We have not been able to do enough of that to offset the horror that we have visited upon their country. And they understand that.
A new school, a new soccer field is not going to offset the vision of civilians with their skin melted off their bodies, frozen in form like the casts you see when you go through the museum at Pompeii after Vesuvius. No number of schools, no amount of bags of candy passed out can make up for the victims of American chemical warfare. And I don't know why that's so hard to get.
Well, we understand it. You, I, at least I want to, and most progressives, but the profit-driven, profit IT, not ESPC.
Yeah.
But it's money, it's power, it's to somehow create a passion play that they write the outcome of, that will let them create the history that they star in. It's one of the most galling, one of the most disappointing phrases going around is George Bush or Cheney or Rumsfeld or any of those pigs. Well, this revisionist history routine has got to stop. They invented the process of altering history to their own benefit.
Well, they're the ones who said that they will make history. If you recall, David Halberstam article from a year or so ago? The guy who looks at him and says, you know, we're just at odds with you reality-based people. You sit there and worry about the history while we make it.
Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. I'm right in the middle of my Thanksgiving preparation, and I'm going to have to work even harder to forget about that horror. That, yes, I remember when that was said. Yeah, We're creating the history. We're making. Oh, you're based in reality, and that's so out of touch.
You know, this is the Dr. Seuss approach to history.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, while I've got you on the line, I want to share something with you. I've been meaning to. You know, early on, I talked about the business of Rush saying that that John Murtha is a useful idiot. You know, and that should be enough. But on the same day, this was Monday, on the same day that Rush was out there parroting the lie that this Danny Bopp, this Marine Reserve colonel, this right-wing punk thug who's stayed as far away from battle as he possibly could, this guy who called Gene Schmidt from somewhere in Ohio to smear John Murtha, you know what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah. Chapter and verse.
Well, it wasn't just Rush, oddly enough, it wasn't Fox. It was MSNBC. Check this out. This is Tucker Carlson.
I don't know Gene Schmidt. I could care less about Gene Schmidt. But the point is, she got that. She was quoting an active duty Marine currently serving in Iraq.
You hear that? This is how they operate. They say the lie one place.
You're wrong. He's not in Iraq.
Not unless there's an Iraq, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Gee whiz.
But, you know, they start it in one place, it gets picked up another, it gets carried over to and there's this just tsunami of right-wing Republican filth that washes over the nation. And the next thing you got people sitting at the donut stand going, you know, I tell you what, that sure was a shame how them Democrats in Congress stood up and booed down a woman for quoting a message from a feller what was already in Iraq. And that's when you just put your little head in your little hands and you weep for what used to be this republic.
It is so easy to put that out there. If it's accepted by a few, there's a few points in the polls, et cetera, et cetera. And once the lie is out there, who is it? Wasn't it Rove? If you're explaining, you're losing.
That's it. And so, you know, that goes back to LBJ. I just want to hear him deny it.
If you tell the lie and it knocks the other fella down, and the other fella can prove it's a lie, while he's explaining it's a lie, the first fella's creating yet another lie. Oh, I gotta go play with my turkey.
Yeah, can we say that on the radio? I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure.
What all goes with the turkey, David?
What's that?
What all goes with the turkey in the David household?
Well, this is kind of like Grandpa and Hee-Haw. What's for dinner?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to start with a little homemade vegetable soup, small quantities, so that nobody's overwhelmed. That's, of course, after intensely sweet small gherkins, black olives, and little crackers with some spicy cheese.
Ooh.
And after the soup, it'll be the straight-up basic. Dressing in the pan, not in the bird.
Good man.
Will be roasted, but the cavity will be loaded with onions, garlic, and lemon halves with the seeds taken out just to make sure that it's...
aromatics.
Flavorful.
Yeah.
And, of course, mashed potatoes with enough cow fat in them to clog any artery on the planet. And, yes, I'm sorry. I am a straight-up all-American. You know, you have to do it. There will be green bean casserole with French's, canned, fried, French, you know, the...
Yeah, great googly moogly. There has to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, that, I mean,
I always serve my cranberry sauce with the little ridges from the can still visible. I'm sorry. I like that.
That's beautiful. That's the little ridges in the can. Yeah, you can't smush it up in the bowl.
And there will be enough freshly ground black pepper in that gravy to make whack come out of your ear.
Attaboy. Like I said, one of these days we'll have the great big head-on, not at the holiday season feast, and I think some sort of dinner on the ground non-church thing, whatever. We're going to eat good.
Pick a day. You know, I love to try to prove I can cook, you know. And if we all drink enough, it won't matter.
David, you have the happiest of holidays, all right?
I shall, and I hope you and your crew does too. And for all the listeners, you know, happy Thanksgiving. It's a great time, and we should celebrate.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. Take care.
Bye, Bob.
Bye now. Yeah, I'm already down one can of whipped cream. I bought the spray can because I'm lazy. You know, it was on top of the pumpkin pie. What goes down while Agnes and I are back here on the air? Now, the little guy was with me while we were grocery shopping. I got the two cans, and I said, you leave these alone. These are for tomorrow's dessert. The littlest one. The other one that was complicit in, let me go, you're not my mommy. While our backs were collectively turned back here in the studio, went in, sat down, and wiped out a can of spray whipped cream. It's kind of lovable when you get right down to it. Not that I'm going to tell her that. Back to reality. So there's Flush Flembaugh and Tucker Carlson both swearing up and down, just lying for the pure hell of it. Lying because it's what they do best. Lying because it is so habitual with a godless, motherless, soulless Republican that they can't help doing it. Just lying, saying that Danny Bopp is in Iraq and got on the... Do these darn fools even take into account what the time difference is between here and Baghdad? Jabus! But no, he was over there sitting in his tent in the middle of the desert, watching this all go down on Fox, and he just had to call Representative Schmidt at midnight or 2 o'clock or whatever from Fire Base Camp Catfish in Iraq or whatever. It's utterly unbelievable. But all they have to do is say, well, you know, he's in Iraq, and the mouth breathing, knuckle walking faithful. Yeah, he was. Did you know that? Yeah, he was. And a liberal, a progressive, you know, a decent human being like one of us comes out and says, well, you know, he actually was un-American. But that's not the end of it. Oh, yeah, we got 10, 15 minutes left. Let's finish up with just a little bit more fun. Let's shift gears and get back to Fox. You know, we're hard up for real good politics right now because, you know, Congress is in recess. George Bush is in his spider hole somewhere in Crawford. And, you know, so when you're desperate for material and you're a good-for-nothing thug like Bill O'Reilly, for instance, You just, and here we go again, it's the same theme. I'm sorry, I don't mean to just hammer on things. It's the same theme. They just make crap up. Now, what is Bill O'Reilly? He did this last year. I guess it's becoming a tradition. One of these days, they'll probably have, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, there will be a great big full of his own hot air balloon of Bill O'Reilly being walked down Broadway for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Just makes stuff up. What is it this time? It's the war on Christmas. And you're un-American if you don't say, Merry Christmas, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior every time you wish someone well for the holidays? That's how you Merry Christmas, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Merry Christmas, are you born again? Merry Christmas, do you have a subscription to to James Dobson's Focus on the Family? Merry Christmas! You have to say Merry Christmas now. You can't. Yeah, I guess if it's your Jewish buddies, you have to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Did you know the Jews killed Christ? Merry Christmas. You're not going to heaven because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Merry Christmas. So, yeah. Bill O'Reilly is at war with people who want to say something besides Merry Christmas. He did it last year. He's on it again. Oh, here's how far it goes. Bill O'Reilly has decided that not saying Merry Christmas is an act of hostility. I kid you not.
So surely they understand the anger that's going to be engendered by millions of Americans who believe that their cherished holiday is being denigrated, disrespected.
Yeah, it indicates hostility. And
by not using the
by,
term.
By refusing to say the word Christmas.
You get that? Not saying Merry Christmas is denigrating Christmas. As if Christmas was a person. Well, it is, Bob. It's Jesus. Really, tell that to the people who sell gifts that go for Hanukkah. No, they don't sell gifts for Hanukkah at KB Toys or Toys R Us or FAO Schwartz. Oh, no. And Target. God knows Target doesn't even let Jews in the door. This ugly, hateful, nascent, just under-the-radar racism that O'Reilly practices makes me want to gag. And by the way, the other voice with him that you're going to hear in these cuts is some Fox anchor. I guess his name's John Gibson. He's written a book about the assault on Christmas, and they're marketing it during the Christmas season? Oh, my. And now, you know, they don't really have communists to bang on. So what John Gibson and O'Reilly have decided is that not saying Merry Christmas leads to narcotic euthanasia.
If you look what happened in Western Europe, in Canada, if you can get religion out, then you can pass secular progressive programs like legalization of narcotics, euthanasia, abortion at will, gay marriage, because the objection to those things is religious-based, usually.
No! Is there anybody here who is foolish enough to believe that any of the retailers actually think anything whatsoever about the religious nature of Christmas? Look, we have an entire retail system in the United States that is so screwed up that they have to do well at Christmas in order to survive the other 11 months of the year.
Well, wait a minute. If what he is saying is true, my God, what happened to Scrooge?
Huh?
Scrooge. You know. How would have...
Oh, no, Scrooge
how,
is the...
How would things like this came, you know, would have come about?
Well, see, that's... You make the point very well. Scrooge didn't say Merry Christmas, and he had to be possessed by ghosts to make him say Merry Christmas.
No, I think the ghosts are going to come and visit Bill O'Reilly in his falafel.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too. This guy... Did you catch the right-wing flip out from a day or so ago because of the... Terrorist X placed over Dick Cheney's face by CNN. You know, we had clips of him when he went to the American Enterprise Institute, whatever that hateful group was he was speaking in front of, and made his speech about how it's reprehensible to say that he and dear leader did what they actually did, running us into this war. So along the way, because, you know, running these kind of video live feeds is complicated, people who edit video will place marks to show where they want to insert graphics or what soundbite they want to pull. And apparently some of the, what this is usually done off air. I used to do it on an audio basis, so it didn't really involve a picture, but yeah, you can put a little blip and you'll know where you want to go back to for your edit. So an X appears across Cheney's face, and within minutes, Matt Drudge has run a full banner headline, X placed across Cheney's face. Is it a liberal conspiracy? Ooh. And within a day, they have to, CNN has to trot out Darren Kagan, who is, of course, Flush Flimball's latest beard, to explain, I'm sorry, dear. She just got a mental image she really didn't want to, and I apologize to the rest of you, too. They have to haul out Flush's latest beard to explain to the Freepers, because they knew that she could explain it to the Freepers, because the Freepers all know that Russia's... Never mind, you don't need that image either. To explain to the Freepers that, no, it was not a liberal plot against Dick Cheney, and no, it was not crosshairs, it was just a little X. That is how out of hand this country has become. That is how, turned on its ear, twisted upside down, and rotated through a couple or three extra dimensions, this country has become in the hands of a bunch of paranoid maniacs from the right wing who believe, among other things, no one would ever take a midwinter vacation if it wasn't for Christmas.
We now don't call it the Christmas break. It's the winter break, as if people worship winter. And there wouldn't be a winter break if there wasn't Christmas at that time of year. So once you call it, change the name. It's not. You won't use the word Christmas.
No.
Then you go to winter. Then you can sort of push the Christmas thing out of public.
See, I think it's all part of the secular progressive agenda to get Christianity and spirituality and Judaism out of the public square.
Yeah, getting Judaism out of the public square. Bill O'Reilly has converted the Jews. Jesus can come back now. Oh! My head's going to explode. My head's going to explode. My head is going to explode. You know, if we, you know, we don't call it Christmas anymore. We call it a winter break. You know, nobody celebrates winter. Nah. That whole winter solstice thing, that has nothing to do with astronomy. It has nothing to do with science. And nobody ever celebrates the winter solstice. Well, I'm sorry, Bill, but where I come from, Christmas is celebrated around, and originally, remember, it was 12 days that culminated on the 25th. It's a celebration that is placed around the winter solstice, was placed around the winter solstice in point of fact by the early church because they wanted to replace the heathen pagan winter solstice festivals that were taking place then. But that's okay, because not saying Merry Christmas pushes Judaism out of the public square. I swear, I promise to you, I would not do drug-addled radio, that I would not drink on the air, that I would not do any of the hateful things that the right-wing talkers do. But, oh my,
Bob,
it makes me wanna. It really makes me wanna.
Calm down.
No.
It was actually called Christmastide.
It was Christ Mass.
It was called Christmastide also.
It is the Christ Mass. It is the Christ Mass. And there were 12 of them. You know, the partridges and the pigeons and the gabbling geese or what. That. God. And by the way, O'Reilly and Gibson have decided that if you don't say Merry Christmas, you're killing churches. And who knows, maybe even reindeer.
Once you start taking out even the secular symbols of religious holidays, Christmas trees, Santa, so forth, refuse to use the word Christmas, you can shove this religious stuff indoors.
Yeah, because you can shove it, John.
No, but a kid might come home and say, hey, what's this Christmas thing all about? Who's this baby Jesus guy?
Hey, who's this baby Jesus guy?
Baby Jesus guy? Is that O'Reilly trying to be hip? Is that him trying to be keen like those neato youngsters? Who's this baby Jesus guy? Some days my head feels like an overripe watermelon just split right down the middle. And as far as shoving aside the symbols of Christmas, as long as there's as long as there's a good pagan out there celebrating Wassel or something, we'll have Christmas trees. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hello, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
I just wanted to share. I've actually went on Target's website and checked out corporate policy. They have absolutely no corporate policy such as this.
No, but that doesn't stop O'Reilly from just making it up.
Oh, and it's certainly been done.
Sure. And that's the modus operandi.
And there are several friends of mine who are Target associates or Target employees have said that they've already had an onslaught of calls from people in the community about this, and it's creating a havoc for Target. And I mean, last year they faced the deal with the Salvation Army not wanting the Salvation Army to solicit on their property. But far be it from the Christian right to insult anyone that has anything to do with not doing a charitable deed such as killing 2,000 people in Iraq.
Yeah, precisely. You know, they're all, again, and you're absolutely right. They're all bent out of shape about whether or not how we greet each other around the holidays, and yet they can't really muster up a big old fashioned give a hoot about the children from last year in Iraq who won't even celebrate Ramadan this year because they're too busy being dead, thanks to George Bush.
There's a very big reason why Jesus taught in parables. He wasn't an overtly evangelical person. He taught through the way he lived his life. And the Christian right of today can't realize that. They can't realize that if they would align their lives with their own Christianity and our own Christianity, I myself am a Christian, if we would align our lives more with that of Christ, we wouldn't have to legislate Christianity into law.
Well, you're of course, and Jesus taught in parables because he didn't want people to be, you know, browbeaten with it. He wanted them to figure it out for themselves.
Exactly.
And the religious right, Chris, you've got a 2x4 them right between the eyes to get an idea through to them. That's why they've got to have a Fox. That's why they've got to have Rush. That's why they've got to have Hannity. That's why they've got to have O'Reilly. It's got to be beaten across their brows, you know, through a news cycle that is 24 hours long before they get it. And it's embarrassing.
Oh, definitely. This country has yet to realize that you cannot legislate morality. Look at the Prohibition. What happened with the Prohibition? It was reversed several years later when they realized it wouldn't work. It's the same way with abortion. I did some research a while back. There are over 42 million abortions done worldwide each year. 22 million of them are legal. 20 million of them are illegal. So if we were to outlaw abortion in the United States, we would still roughly have 50% of the abortion problem that we have today.
Well,
how many more mothers would be dead because of this legislation?
And not just that, Chris. Look at the abortion numbers for the United States alone during the Clinton administration compared to those of the Bush administration. Abortion.
Well, definitely. The abortion levels were lower because there was social funding. There was a social safety net to catch those who were in that trap. They had their children. And now, look. Bush comes in and cuts the social spending to, quote-unquote, eliminate the problem of abortion or the social plague of abortion. What has happened? It has increased.
Exactly, and it's going to continue to increase. Now, the next step in this, we're kind of out of time. I hope you'll call again sometime. But the next step in this, you know, everybody's worried about Samuel Alito and what he'll do on the court. I think it's fairly obvious to anybody who cares to pay attention. He's going to move towards striking down Roe v. Wade. But the next step in this is striking down Roe v. Wade is not going to criminalize abortion in the United States. It's going to throw it back to the individual states to make their own decisions.
And look what happened with No Child Left Behind. Once again, we've had federalism at its finest, and now it's backfiring because the federal government can't afford to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. And when it goes, and when Roe goes back to the states for individual decisions, you know, California's not going to take away a woman's right to choose. New York's not going to take away a woman's right to choose. Illinois's not going to take away a woman's right to choose. But they will take away that right in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, maybe Georgia, maybe Florida, certainly in South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, West Virginia will be one of the first to do it. And so once again, the people who can afford abortions will be able to go women who can afford it will be able to go and get them, while the poor people stay behind and either have babies that they do not love and do not want to care for, or else will wind up in some back alley getting the coat hanger
just
treatment.
Just like Bush has outsourced jobs through his policy. We're going to start outsourcing abortions to states where abortion will still be legal.
Exactly. Chris, we got to leave it at that, but I sure do appreciate hearing from you, and very happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. Thank you for waging your war on the narrow-minded.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good
day. Bye now.
Goodbye.
All right. That's it for tonight. Thanks for everybody participating as you may have chosen to do, whether you're listening, chatting in a chat room, calling in. Or in some cases, because I don't get to the phones quite quickly enough, listening on hold. I appreciate everyone, and thank you. And from a Thanksgiving standpoint, I am grateful for all of you. There are some I am slightly more grateful for than others who know who they are but shall remain nameless. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages our stream, and as well as managing the archives of the program. He's a hard worker, and he needs all the support you can give. Thanks to Joe Vecchio, and very happy Thanksgiving to him. And thanks to our friends at Fourth Estate Radio.